You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's sermon.
From Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, we've gone through Ecclesiastes quickly, but I tried to pick out certain passages that kind of represent the progress that the author experiences from complete vanity at the beginning, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, to greater hope, to not mentioning God at all, to considering his works, and then considering our destiny, of which there are hints even of glory in this passage. I'm going to begin with chapter 11, verse 8, and on to 12, verse 8. Will you ever be young again? So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you. In the days of your youth, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the one, to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Mas si el hombre vive muchos años, y todos ellos los disfruta, debe recordar que los días tenebrosos serán muchos, y que lo venidero será vanidad. Alégrate, joven, en tu juventud. Deja que su corazón disfrute de la adolescencia. Sigue los impulsos de su corazón y responde al estímulo de sus ojos. Pero toma en cuenta de que Dios te juzgará por todo eso. Alea de su corazón en enojo. Aparte de tu cuerpo la maldad, porque juventud y vigor son pasajeros. We'll stop there. In our reading of God's word today, we're going to be looking at chapter 11, verse 8, all the way to chapter 12, verse 8. We'll ask this question, will you ever be young again? Shall we pray? Lord, we need hope. We need the hope of glory. We do not see much around us. We look around and we see vanity, vanity, all is vanity under the sun. We also see that you have given us hope and the hope of glory, and you've given us desire to serve you and to see the land of the living from afar, as Moses did from Mount Pisgah. Hear our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. George Bernard Shaw famously said, "Youth is wasted on the young." You young people have all this energy, but what are you going to do with it? And then, of course, when you have enough age and wisdom to enjoy life, you're not able to. Just as you think you've arrived, you are not going anywhere. You see how it is? It looks like vanity as you even get older. But there's a curious thing that happens in the book of Ecclesiastes. There is light coming in the midst of darkness. And he tells us about this in the context of the universal struggle to know whether or not we have life at all and how long it might be and whether or not it's eternal. He starts out in a couple of ways by encouraging those who are young to rejoice. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Now you'll see this is better than it used to be in the mind of the author here. Don't worry about life. We're just like the animals. We're going to go to the dust. So why bother and just seize the day, because it's not going to be very long until you're dead. No, he doesn't say that. Rejoice in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. So the eyes of the preacher are clearing. He doesn't want us to give up just because life is short. He wants us to know that if you are young, there are reasons to live. Do you see that hope coming? Live life to the fullest. Grab the day, carpe diem, means grab the day as it comes along. As we near the end of the book, despair gives way to hope. Now, youth is short. You're only young once, right? You try to renew your youth, but it doesn't happen very easily. We've got to recognize that youth is short, so we have to live life in the light. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Light and darkness, tough times come later. At the beginning, everything is bright. We have a granddaughter that's about a year and a half. She cannot stop looking at everything there is in the world. She's walking around now and touching everything and looking at everything and amazed at everything and pets the dog and wonders about the flowers. And it's kind of a wondrous time of life when all of a sudden you're awake and you realize there are things out there that you've never seen before. There is a cheerfulness in a way about being young, because there's so much of life ahead of you. Now, the tough times will come later. However, from the very beginning, you're supposed to do one thing, and that's in verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. The evil days will come, and the years will draw near, of which you say, I have no pleasure in them. So there will be dark days. There will be harder days, more difficult days to come. It doesn't mean we should live in despair. In fact, we should take advantage of the fact that we have youth and strength and vigor before it is gone. Life has meaning if we remember our Creator. That's a really strong emphasis on hope. Remember that you were created by God to live for Him. God cares about you. God knows about you. God made you. God will bring all things to light someday. So live and walk in the light. At the end of the book, and I didn't read these verses, we have an even stronger reminder. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, which again, I always say, that's the Old Testament way of saying trust God. Trust God or fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So there we have it. There is a reason to live. We should live for the Lord. And life has meaning. God will not forget anything. If your name is written in the book of life, we find out later, God will not forget you. You can rejoice that your name is written in the book of life, and the things that you do for the Lord will not be forgotten. Whereas for the wicked, of course, nothing will be forgotten, and it all will all speak to their everlasting condemnation. But now we have to think about life. It's kind of fun in a way. I've lived through much of life. I have, I believe, a little more life to live. Who knows? But children, and there are a couple of you guys out there who are relatively young, life seems long. It really isn't. When I was in, let's say, fifth grade or fourth grade or third grade, it just seemed like it was never going to end, right? Even when you're a teenager, it seems like this is a time we can really enjoy life, but it's all short. You might want to listen to your parents. Well, not might want to, you should. Children obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because God gave them to you and they have a degree of wisdom. They're not perfect. You probably know that already, but they are your parents. And you're to listen to the word of God that is taught through them or at worship or Sunday school before you think you know everything, which will happen soon enough. We read from Psalm 119, we want God to teach us His ways, to walk in His ways. And when you're young, teach me, one Christian song says, teach me when my heart is tender. In other words, when we have that opportunity not to be worn down and hardened by the difficulties of life. Now, next, you young people, whoever you may be, teenagers, I don't know how many of you were out there, or those you remember you when you were teenagers, right? You do know everything, right? Or you think you do. What are my parents thinking? I've only lived a few years, but I think I know better than they do. That happens all the time. Instead, Proverbs says, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Learn to love the Lord, find your gifts and use them. We talked about calling the other day. What do you like to do? What are you good at? And what are the opportunities you have in life to serve the Lord? You have tremendous opportunities. Some of these things are mysteries. You don't know what to do exactly. But look to the Lord for wisdom as you move forward in life. And I'm sure all of us remember, try to figure out what our major should be in college and later whom we should marry. What should we do in our job? What the first job is that we should take and how should we happen to do it? Now, some of you are maybe relatively young marrieds. I won't make any judgments here, but some of you are married with children. Grow old together. That's always a blessing. Not everybody gets to do it. I know of people who have lost their spouses at a relatively young age. Lost them usually to cancer or heart disease or an accident of some sort. But if you are able to grow old together, count that to be a blessing. Pray for it. Plan for it. In joy and also in realism, life is not easy. If I talk to married couples, they all say that marriage is difficult. It's full of joy, but full of challenges too, right? Come on, don't kid me. You know all about that. You know how hard it is. But God gives you grace. God gives you grace to be able to love your husband and wife even in the hard times. And this is very realistic. This is very, very realistic, whether you're young or old. Now, the prime of life, whatever that is, I don't know, 30, 40, something like that, life can be taken from you at any time. Work hard, serve the Lord. It will not last forever. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Of course, the scriptures. But we don't know. Will you ever be young again? Doesn't look like it. Hollywood actors never seem to age because they're shot up with Botox three or four times in their faces until finally their face falls off. They realize that's not going to work. It looks awful funny when you try to keep young and you can't be. It really doesn't last forever, does it? So face up to it. If by God's grace you get to be old, what shall you do? What shall you do when you are old? You are to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, O man, in your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart before the sight of your eyes. Know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. But you should still rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, I say again, rejoice. It's the reality of life that for the believer, joy is deep and wide. It doesn't mean we're always happy or that life is easy, but it means that we know there's an end to it and there's a purpose to it all. And because of that, we will live life to the fullest, to the glory of God. If you ever visit a nursing home, I always observe there are two kinds of people. Those who are eaten up by bitterness and anger and fear because they're old and do not know the Lord. And those who, though they are feeble, are happy and hopeful and generous and prayerful. It's an amazing thing to see, and proof that the outer man may be decaying every day, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. And we trust that that will be you as you get older. Now, it is not easy. Man wastes away like a rotten thing, Job says, or like a garment that is moth-eaten. We are nowhere near as old as the trees. There are redwood trees, which I hear are not actually the oldest trees to exist, but I saw a cross-section of one in the California Museum of Science down in San Francisco, and there were hundreds of rings on that tree. I think there's the Methuselah tree, somebody told me, that's even older than that. Don't ask me how old. We're nowhere near as old as the trees, but eventually the oldest tree will be a stump in the ground, or will be cut down to show in a museum. At least there is some reference to a twig or a shoot out of that stump of Jesse. But that's another subject. Trees also, as old as they might get to be, also will die. So in verse 8, we have this reminder for those of you who are getting older. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. This is again verse 8, backing up to the beginning of the text. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. So you're supposed to rejoice, same as when you were young, exact same. Rejoice when you're young, rejoice when you're in the middle, as hard as that might be, rejoice when you are old. Rejoice in the Lord always. But remember that the dark days are coming. The day of death, meaning, is coming eventually for each one of us. And it will get harder. Life will generally get harder in vanity. Now, some people, I was reading recently that Moses, when he viewed the promised land from Mount Pisgah, it said that his eyes were undimmed and his vigor was still strong. God gave him at 120 years old that unique blessing to be able to see clearly ahead to the promised land, that he could actually see from that high point. But most of us are getting old and things fall apart. You know how that gets. Before, and then this is a kind of a metaphor for life. It's imagining that all of us are houses that are falling apart. All right, so you're a house. Paul talks about your house is like your body is like a house, same thing. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. Now, we've got to be a little poetic here. Some of you don't have poetic bents, but some might be able to see this. The keepers of the house tremble. Now, what is that? I think it's fairly obvious. The things that do things around the house, the keepers, your hands, your arms, doing things around the house and for your house, they will ultimately tremble someday. The strong men, well, that's probably the legs. The strong men are bent. You ever see an elderly person kind of bent over? Their backs are bent and their knees are bent and they can't walk straight. And the grinders cease. That's an easy one. Grinders are few. Your teeth are going to fall out. Well, not so much these days, but they can. Those who look through the window are dimmed. Well, I got that problem. Reading glasses. Went under surgery and got some new lenses. They're plastic. It's kind of cool, but that's not going to last forever either. Those who look through the windows are dimmed. You're peering out of your windows and you're seeing things, but not as clearly as you used to, right? This is so poetic. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low and when rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. You're trying to sleep at night and you can't. You have any sleep problems? You getting older, all kinds of sleep problems. You wake up in the middle of the night. Some of you don't. That's fine. That's great. But a lot of times you do. And also you hear things. What was that? What was that? What was that? Something going on in the house here. What was that? That's what it says here. They're afraid of what is high. They're afraid of what's at nighttime. They rise up at the sound of a bird. And they are afraid of what is high and terrors in the way. And you're scared of everything because you easily could be a victim. People walking in the streets of San Francisco better pretend they're pretty vigorous because they're going to get mugged, right? The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. You used to make love to your husband or wife, not so much anymore. But why are these things true of us, each of us? Well, because when our bodies are falling apart, we know that it isn't long before we go to our eternal home. This is from the same guy that says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Yes, the mourners go about in the streets. It's going to be sad. The silver cord is snapped. The golden bowl is broken. Every pitcher is shattered at the fountain. The wheel is broken at the cistern. And the dust, that's you, returns to the earth as it was. But nonetheless, you are going to your eternal home. That's got to be an Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, hope of glory. Even there, there's hope. Even more hope, lest you dare to consider chapter 12, verse 7, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. So it isn't as though we just fall into the dust, though we do. Dust you are, to dust you shall return. But the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Now that's dramatically different than the beginning of the book, isn't it? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. No, no. Hopefulness, hopefulness. It comes to us here. It comes to us toward the end of this book. We are nearing the end of the book and the development of this thought, and vanity is still there, and he'll repeat it even again, most unexpectedly, but fulfillment is coming. Another reference to old age. When I was younger, I knew a guy whose specialty was gerontology, and that means the study of getting old. He had a very interesting, he was a professional at this, and you know how professionals like to make categories, and they do. So if you are 65 or older, you are young old. Whoever you are, I don't even know. So you're relatively young, if the Lord has given you blessing. I know some people who are 65 in wheelchairs, so it's not always true. But when you get to be 75, I'm not quite there yet, but you're middle old, middle age old. Over 75, over 85 rather, 75 to 85 is middle old. When you're 85, you're old old. That's it. Okay, you're really old. Old as the hills, old as dirt. Even down to old age, well, my people shall prove my sovereign, ineffable, unchangeable love. That's how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is found in for your faith in his excellent word. We're going to sing that in a little bit. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my love. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old. How do you do that? Thieves break in and steal. Moth eats up your clothing. With your treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Well, we're going to get old. We're all getting old. Will you ever be young again? That's the question. And of course, it doesn't look like it. But there are hints in this passage already. The Spirit returns to the God who gave it. Not saying there is nothing afterwards. We're just like the animals. Forget it. You're going to fall into the dust and nobody will remember you. No, it's not true. First of all, remember this. The Spirit returns to God who gave it. Who said that? Jesus said that. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. After he had suffered and died, was about to die, he had finished his work and he gave up the ghost. He went to be with the Lord, as he told the thief on the cross, today you would be with me in paradise. Jesus went to paradise. Jesus has preceded us. Without the Lord and his future, we would have no future. Christ had the same hope, the hope of glory. He knew he and his people have a future because he sealed it with his blood. This is good news. This is what we should tell the world. Do not live just for the here and now. You can rejoice in the Lord, young and old, middle-aged, young, old, middle-aged, old, old, old. You're all going to come to the point where you will say, into your hands I commit my spirit, as Stephen said in the book of Acts when he was being stoned, echoing the words of his Savior. Our death will follow, but our glory will follow too. The day of death will be the day of entrance into paradise. What do you think is going to happen? You're there in a hospital bed, or before you, or somehow you have an accident and suddenly you're gone. What are you going to expect? Darkness to fall over your eyes, and then nothingness? Or will you enter in to the glory of heaven? By God's grace, there is light at the end of the tunnel, as we like to say. It is darkest before the dawn, but the dawn surely comes. Christ was raised from the dead, and he is leading us to glory, both by having our spirits safe in God and being with him on the day of our death, but also raised one day from the dead. The day of darkness will give way to the eternity of light, instead of the days of light to eternal darkness, but only if God is gracious to us. The universe is growing old like a garment, as the psalm says. It will be changed. The world is falling apart. They will perish, but you will remain, Psalm 102. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. See the picture? This life, this world, this universe is like a tattered garment. And God will have this universe put off the old and put on the new. Does that sound familiar? That's what we are to do in Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, you, Lord, that's referring to Christ particularly, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, as they presently are, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. There it is again. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you, Lord, are the same, and your years have no end. We have an eternal Savior, an eternal God, an eternal life, and our faith will not be in vain in the Lord. Now, meanwhile, the wicked will not be seen any longer. They will fall apart. Behold, the Lord helps me. Who will declare the guilty? Behold, all of them will wear like a garment. The moth will eat them up. The wicked will be eaten up too, like a garment. But guess what? You're also still falling apart. Your life is like a house with light and life and water and jars and singing, vigor, energy. You wake up in the morning, you can hear the birds sing, you get your water from the well, you eat your food, your hands are strong, you can lift heavy weights, you make love to your husband or your wife, and you can see without your glasses. These are all things that we will enjoy by God's grace. Instead, there will come a day when you can't see, walk, talk, laugh, or sing. It is all going to be gone. What ever happened to you anyway? What about you? This is a universal experience. People are saying, no, it can't be. Maybe we'll all get young again somewhere on earth. I know, I think there's a fountain of youth somewhere. By the way, it's not just supposed to be in Florida. The ancient Greeks also believed there must be a fountain of youth somewhere. In the days of the Crusaders, they were looking for a fountain of youth. The Caribbean peoples, obviously, because that's where Ponce de Leon may have gotten the idea, and he went and supposedly founded in St. Augustine, Florida, where everybody can be in Florida and get young again. Not my observation. People in Florida seem to be older than most, so that's not going to work, is it? You see what I mean? To have the water of life, we all want the water of life. We want to live. We want to live now and forever. The Christian knows better. The fountain of youth is nowhere on earth. The fountain of youth comes from Christ to earth from heaven. Revelation 22, the angel showed me the river of the water of life. There it is, water of life. The river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It comes from God through redemption. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Once you come to Christ and drink, the Bible also says, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you not only drink deeply, but you show forth the life that you have in Christ to others. Others can see there is a reason why you are living. There's a reason why you have hope. There's a reason why you don't give up, no matter how old or infirm you may get. You will say with the psalmist, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Abraham, Sarah, couldn't have children. How old were they? Pretty old, beyond childbearing years. But Abraham bore a child when he was old, and God was making him and Sarah young ahead of time. What is this? A baby? And I'm 100? Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. But that's what happened. Isaac was old and he could not see. You remember that story. And yet he could see by faith blessings for his offspring, though he got it mixed up, still God's plan. Isaac was old too. Jacob was old, remember this, at the end of Genesis. By faith he gave blessings to each of his sons for the future, which he knew would come for them in great blessing. Joseph, you remember, died in Egypt, but he gave commands, as Hebrews 11 reminds us, in faith, for his bones to be carried back to the promised land. He saw with the eyes of faith what is true in his death. Joshua was old, and it says he went the ways of all the earth. Moses was old, though his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated, but he did see the land with his eyes, but with the eyes of faith he saw the promised land, a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. David grew old, he says in Psalm 37, I'm really old now, but I've never seen the righteous in need. He saw the truth of God's blessing for his people. Peter, of course, grew old. In John 21, it says, there's going to be a time where you have to go where you don't want to go. They'll lead you away, and you will be killed. Peter grew old, but he still witnessed to the gospel of Christ to the end of his days. We all are in hope of release from the groaning of the creation and sometimes our own groaning. I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The creation was subjected to vanity, futility. This is it. This is Ecclesiastes, you see. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope, God subjected the universe to apparent vanity so he could prove that he will set us free from sin. Not willingly, because of him who is in hope, subjected the creation itself to vanity, to bondage, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So we know the whole creation has been groaning together as if the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Your bodies will be raised from the dead. You'll be part of the new heavens and the new earth. In Isaiah 65, it says, by way of figure and illustration, if you get to heaven, you begin to be 100 years old. You're still a kid. You're still a youngster if you're 100. You're younger than young, right, in heaven. Just like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph. Someday the silver cord will break. But then that golden salvation will be revealed in the streets of gold. There will be a time when you will be as young as forever, with all the time and strength to do what you want. And guess what? You will want to do only what the Lord wants you to do. You will want to serve the Lord. You will want to give him unending praise. That will be the day. That will be the eternity before us. Godly youth is a time to enjoy youthful godliness when you have the strength to serve God. One day we shall all be young again, because through Christ we will live forever, with Christ paying that price to deliver us to eternal glory. Shall we pray? Lord, teach us the hope of glory, Christ in us. Help us to know that we have the foretaste, foreshadowing, the early inheritance, the early sense that we will be with you. Thank you again, Lord, for teaching us to listen to your word, for helping us not to hope in what we see, but looking up to Jesus and forward to heaven. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name, who also taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.